Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Well, if you don't know me, my name is Nick, along with my beautiful wife, Tin Louise. We run a Connect group, and we also serve as elders here in Port Kennedy, and it's an incredible honour for us to do so. While Pastor Mark and Mel are on holidays, we just want to honour them as well for leading this campus so well. They really are incredible campus pastors, and I think they're on a well-deserved break. I think they were very busy. I know they were very busy towards the end of the year. A lot happening, a lot changing, but they've just, man, they're always just so solid, hey? We've got incredible campus pastors, so we bless them on their time away. They come back next week, so we're excited for that as well. We've really missed them, but yes, here we go. This morning, as we are heading into the third week of January, can you believe? I realized on Monday that we celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary, me and my wife. Can you believe it? 18 years. I got married a day before my 21st birthday, so that was incredible. But over the years, I've learned a few things about myself. I've actually learned that I'm quite practical when it comes to handling situations, dealing with emotional situations. I'm quite a practical person, and I've learned something over the years of failure, is that when my wife comes to speak to me about a certain issue or something that she's dealing with, she really does not need me to fix the problem or give her a practical solution. She just wants to vent. Men, can anyone else sort of, yep, not just me, oh, thank you, too, well done, yep. And in my mind, I think, well, if I fix the problem, I don't have to listen to, no, I love listening to you, babe. I love it. I'm on the stage here, so you can't reach me right now, so I'm safe, I think. But I've learned that, but today, actually, I do not have to worry about that because I can preach a very practical sermon. That's my plan this morning is for 2026. I feel God has got a word for us that's very practical. And I'm going to preach out of a book out of the New Testament that's actually a very practical book. And it's the book of James. So the book of James, just a little bit of context, is actually the brother of Jesus. And there's no frills or spills. It's just straight down the line. With the main theme is how to live our Christian life. And the main theme of the whole book is our faith must lead to action. So this morning I'm going to read from James 1, 19 to 24. So if you have your Bibles handy, open up your phones to James 1, verse 19. It says, the heading there is, hearing and doing the word. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with weakness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearers who forget, but doers who act, will be blessed in his doing. Now that's a powerful scripture this morning. Really practical. I said there's going to be a practical sermon, and I'm going to aim to do that. So I've titled my message, simply, Faith in Action. So if you're taking notes, write that down. I want to focus on verse 23 and 24 this morning from James, where he said, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Now, this reminded me of a time when I was in primary school. And as I was learning to read, my teachers and my parents realized that I don't read too well. And they realized that I actually have dyslexia. Now, what that means is I swap my letters and my numbers around. So my mom and dad tried their absolute best to try and get my brain to read better. So they sent me to this lady that would run these little exercises so that my mind can read it in the right order. And the problem is, luckily I wasn't born in this era today, because if I was, I would have said 7-6 instead of 6-7. My son's in the audience, he's cringing so bad, I'm sorry. sorry. Now, one of these games that I used to play was a little memory game. Now, the lady would sit me down in front of one of the computers, and they'll flash these images of whatever it might be, but it'll go faster and faster, and I'll have to read back in order what I saw. And we'll continue this on until it goes so fast that I couldn't read out in order again, and then next week we'll come back and I'll try and beat my score for the previous week. Now, I'm not sure if this worked. It hasn't, obviously, but one thing I did learn, a really profound lesson that I learned from all this, is that the longer you look at something, the easier it is to remember it. That's not profound, but true nonetheless. So, but my prayer is that after today, that God would move in our hearts so much that when we look longer into His perfect law, not long enough not to instantly forget, but long enough to look into the perfect law and remember. That's my plan, my prayer for us in 2026, is when we look at it, we remember. Now, for us to do this, to put our faith into action, I think we need to do a few things. I've got 4 points today, and please, this is in no way, shape, or form a four-step process to Jesus, all right? This is just something that I've learned over the years, something that's helped me in my walk with Jesus to become closer and be Jesus, closer to Jesus. Like I said, it's very practical. So if you're taking notes, my first point today is read your Bible. The most profound point this morning is read your Bible. Now, there's been a few studies done over the last few years in a few different churches, and these studies have found that between 19 and 50% of Christians, church-going Christians, read their Bibles daily. Now, I don't know about you, but this is terrifying for me. With most of those people relying on a Sunday service as their main source of sustenance with Jesus. And I think in 2026, it's time that we change that here. Now, I've had this conversation with people before. People saying, I don't have time to read my Bible. So what I do is, on the way to work, I put on a sermon or I put on worship music, and that's the way that I spend time with Jesus. And that's great. That is awesome. I do the same thing. But we need to understand that that podcast you're listening to isn't the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. That sermon that you're listening to isn't the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. And that book that you're reading or that worship song you're listening to, that's not the Word of God, but the Word of God is the Word of God. And I think God's pulling His people, and there's a challenge I want to set myself and you this morning, is that we become people, at the very least this campus, people that look intently into the Word of God and let Him work in us, in our walk with faith with Him. Looking and not forgetting as soon as we leave the room. So a few years ago at conference, Ben Fitzgerald preached a sermon about being under the Word of God. You remember that if you were there? He picked up his Bible and he had it on his head like this. And we need to be people that become, that's under the Word of God. And that really inspired me so much to do more, to be in His Word more. See, in a world that has so many different opinions and there's so much noise around what's right and what's wrong and do this, no, do that. The only way that we can stand strong is to rely on the Word of God. In a world that is blurring the lines between what's wrong and what's right, the only way we as Christians can stand strong is to stand on the Word of the Lord, the Word of the Lord that's been standing for thousands and thousands of years and has not changed. The Word might tell you, yeah, but they've different translations and they've translated it from the same Septuagint book. It's not changed. This book is what we stand strong on. How do we put our faith in action? By reading our Bibles. If we don't know the Word of God, how can we stand strong? In Matthew 4, verse 4, it says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in Psalm 119, verse 11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. These are just a few, but there are so many more throughout the Old and New Testament that calls God's people to be people that delight in His word, that studies His precepts, that understand what He says. And not just read it, but I challenge you to go one step further. Now you might think, what, I've got to do more? Yes, I want to challenge you to do more than just read your Bible. Takes me to my second point, is meditate on the Word of God. And I think in our Western culture, the word meditation has gotten a pretty bad rap over the years. Because for me personally, if I think of meditation, I think of this new age person with their legs folded saying, and that's not what this meant. It's not what God meant when he said we need to meditate on the word of God. So I actually want to swap the word meditate with a different word just for today, if you'll excuse me, with the word ruminate. We need to ruminate on the word of God. Now, I've said before, and I say this quite often, is I believe God has left so many gold nuggets in nature that we can actually learn from. And today I want to take something from the humble cow. Now, if you don't know what rumination is, let me explain really quickly. If most of us has had year 5 biology, so we've sort of somewhere along the line heard that a cow has 4 stomachs. And when a cow eats grass that first time, that's actually not the last time that the cow is going to eat that grass, because a cow ruminates. And 5 things happen when a cow ruminates. Now, this is a little bit gross, but you'll be okay. The first thing the cow does is he eats it. The cow quickly chews the grass, quickly, and then he just crushes it a little bit and then mixes it with saliva, and then he swallows it. Secondly, the food that he just swallowed then gets stored in one of those 4 stomachs, and it's left there to ferment a little bit. Then the third thing he does is he regurgitates. The cud comes back up. They call it the cud, like a ball of grass, comes back up. And then the fourth thing, sometimes you might drive next to the road and you'll see a cow lying under the tree looking so content, just chewing away. He hasn't eaten anything. It's actually that cud that's come back up, and he's just sitting there chewing and enjoying life terribly. And the last thing that a cow does, he then re-swallows it. Now, why I choose the cow to illustrate this point is I believe this should be us in our walk with Jesus. But I think a lot of us stop at the first point. See, if early in the morning, we get up, and I think all of us have been here, we could get up in the morning, read 2 or 3 verses, then we get showered, get dressed, get in the car, the phone rings, the music's playing, the radio's on, or your head's busy and you forget. That's the last time you remember those 2 verses or 3 verses you've read in the morning. And to be honest, this is the times where you don't get much out of the Bible. I've heard people say, I don't really get much out of reading the Bible. I don't really understand the Bible. And you might think, well, I don't know what the genealogy of Abraham has to do with me loving my irritating coworker better, right? But this happens if you stop at the first step. Now, how do we get more out of the Bible? Now, we must first ask, why do the cow chew the cud? It's because if they leave their food to ferment in their stomachs for a little while, and then they regurgitate it and they re-eat it, that fermentation process has now allowed different nutrients and more nutrients to be released and to be available to the cow. Now, it's gross, but it's so powerful, because surely you guys can see where I'm going with this, right? We need to be like this cow, ruminating on the word of God. When we quickly read our word in the morning, we get up and we go. If that word is left in our hearts to ruminate a little bit longer and left to ferment in our souls a little bit longer, when we re-chew it, there's nutrients for our soul available the second time that wasn't there the first time. It might have been there, but we missed it. But the second time we re-chew it, the second time we chew the cud with the Lord, His Holy Spirit allows us to see something we might have missed in the first place. Now, the Bible is full of examples of people encouraging us to meditate on the Word of God. And it's weird. It's almost like God's telling us you need to meditate on the Word of God. I don't know. I'm no rocket scientist, but I'm assuming. In Joshua 1, verse 8, it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 says, blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord and who meditates on the law day and night. So when James says in James 1, he says we need to be doers of the word and not looking and then completely forgetting it, rumination is the way we go from hearers to doers. Because if we hide the words in our heart, we know that everything flows from our heart. We know this from Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, just imagine for a second, if we guard our hearts with the Word of God, what will flow from us? Okay, so my first point was the most profound one, read your Bible. The second one was ruminate or meditate, whichever one you want to choose. My third one is share with your friends. It's a strange one, but I really believe this is where true growth comes in as well. If you were at the Shane Wellard night at Myri, you would have heard this before. And he said, if you speak to an Orthodox Jew today, or if you had a time machine and you go back in time and you watch them read their Bibles or the Torah, you would have seen them do it together. They'll actually be amazed to know that we read the Bibles by ourselves. See, the Word of God is food for us, food for our soul. But I believe that food needs to be shared. And I've seen this. Now, we've run Connect for quite a few years, and we've seen this in our Connect groups, is when we have Connect and we have cake and tea, it's wonderful. Like, we love Connect, right? It's great. But when we have Connect and we say, everyone bring a plate, we're going to eat together. There's something spiritual that happens when you eat together. I don't know what it is, but you see a deepening in the community. You see a deepening in friendships because we prepare food together. Everyone's laughing, having a good time together. We actually see this. I actually spoke to Mark Amell about this, is because everyone always comments on our community in our church, but it's because I reckon when we have community events, we don't cater. We make our own food. And then you see people on the barbecue having a good time, laughing, chatting, discussing things. People eat together here, and something happens within us. And like food, which I love, if our spiritual food is the exact same way, we need to share it with friends. When we share... Sorry, I lost my place, but here we go. I think in 2026, it'll be good for us, and perhaps you're already doing this, is to join a Connect group. Because this is, like I just said, the times when we can really share with friends. We're living in such a busy time and a busy time in our lives that it's so hard to get some time to go and spend time with a friend. But if you take 2 weeks, every 2 weeks we're going to go meet together, you force yourself to sit with friends and discuss the Word of God. Perhaps you have a WhatsApp group where you say, hey, let's take this the book of James this week or this month. And we're going to go through the book of James, and daily we're going to discuss what we've read. Perhaps you're already doing that. If you're not doing that, I want to encourage you to do that. Like I said, it's going to be very practical this morning, is because I believe when we do this, we grow. And God requires us and God desires us to grow more. In Acts 2 verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In Colossians, it says, let every word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. As you can see, it is clear, we were never meant to read the Word of God alone. Now again, don't get me wrong. We need to. God desires us to sit in our secret place and read the Word with Him. And then He wants us to ruminate on the Word and find out what it means for us. But then we share it with our friends and we see a different part of what that person sees in the Scripture, and we grow together. See, iron sharpens iron and friends form each other. That used to be our saying in our rugby team we used to play for, is iron sharpens iron. As we do life together, as we grow together, we sharpen each other to become the people God wants us to be. And it's never meant to be alone. It's never meant to just be me. It's meant to do it together. Share it with friends. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we speak it to each other, we speak the Word of God to each other, we increase our faith. And I see this when I don't speak with my friends and I speak with people from the world for a couple of weeks at work and I neglect really discussing the Word of God. What happens? You hear what they're saying. Like, oh, that can't be real. That's a bunch of rubbish. And your faith might diminish. But if you're amongst people that say, oh, this is what the Bible says, oh, God spoke to me this morning, your faith is built. Because you see and you know that someone's talking to Jesus, and your faith gets built. A few things happen when you share your faith with other people, with your friends, is you keep each other accountable. Because let's be honest, we all need to be held accountable. Is it just me? Great, you guys are very holy, but I need to be held accountable. Because sometimes life gets busy. But if you're reading a book together, you're going through, let's say, the book of James, and someone's asking, so what did you read this morning? Oh, I was very busy. Well, come on, I'm waiting to hear what you think. All of a sudden, we're keeping each other accountable. When I meet with young guys, I can immediately know whether they're reading the Bible or not. And it's not me to catch them out, but it's for me to see where they are on their journey. It's like, what's God saying to you? And I can see, But see, if you read your Bible, oh, God said this to me this morning. And then I can see, yes, this guy is reading his Bible and it's great. And I can see what I need to address or what I need to talk about. Or we can talk about the Word of God. And that's how I help them grow. And that's how they help me grow, is we share the Word of God together. So in 2026, I want to challenge you, why don't you make Connect Group your priority? Or why don't you create a similar WhatsApp group? You decide on a book for the month. If you're in a group with me, can we make it 2 months? Because obviously I don't read very well. So, but we'll work on it. I'm happy to do work with you guys. But let's do that. So that as we share our thoughts weekly, daily, we keep each other accountable. We learn from others. Perhaps you've got time in your week to organize a coffee date with a friend. Someone that you see God's working, or someone that knows has got perhaps a bit more knowledge than you. Say, hey, are you free on a Wednesday? Let's go drink some coffee. Let's go read the Word of God together. And we grow together. Now, I know the sermon is perhaps a little bit boring, right? I get it. All I'm saying is read your Bible and pray every day. Yeah, I get it. That song that we all learned in our Sunday school is read your Bible, pray every day. At 9, I sang it, and Dan asked me, please don't sing it again. Or please never, ever sing again. And I get it. I actually thought I did a pretty good job. Thank you. Read your Bible, pray every day. Yay! It's so simple, but I think in 2026, we need to take it back to basics. Now, I love the Pentecostal church. I love it. I love it because it's great. But the thing is, all of us want to share a word for someone else, right? All of us want to cast the devil out. All of us want to preach and speak in tongues, and all of us want to have a vision for someone else. We all want to do these things, but the one thing that we don't do, but a lot of times we don't read our Bibles. See, I come from a very traditional church where they were sensationists. They believe that the Holy Spirit stopped moving with the apostles, but their word knowledge was incredible, because that's all they had was the Word of God. And in the Pentecostal movement, we've got the Word and the Holy Spirit. But we all want to do these things out of the Holy Spirit. Come on, let me give a word for you, brother. But then I look at Jesus, and when he cast out, when he told the devil to get behind him, he used the Word to rebuke the devil. So I want to encourage you, Pentecostal people, is use the Word. Stand on the Word when you give someone a word. Stand on the Word when you have a vision for someone. Connected to the Word. When you feel like you've got to cast a demon out, use the Word. But you see, you've got to know the Word to speak the Word. If you don't know the Word, we haven't ruminated on the Word. How can we do that? Yes, the Holy Spirit helps us and he guides us, but it's important in 2026 that we take this extremely serious. That when someone does a sample of our church in 2026, that 100% of us say, yep, I read my Bible daily. That's the aim. That's the goal, is for all of us to read the Bible. And my last point as the band joins me is simply this: do. It's not hard. Well, it is hard, but not if you read your Bible. If we are to become doers of the Word and not just hearers, reading, meditating, and sharing with friends will help us do the Word we learned. Putting our faith in action will be the outflowing of that. See, in almost every verse on meditation, there's a certain theme that stands out. So when we bring the Word of God close to our hearts, our ways will prosper. I encourage you, go and look in your Bible this week on meditation, on the back of your Bible. I opened my Bible to the back and I looked at meditate and I went to every verse. Don't chat GPT it. Do it out of your Bible. Put in the work. Every single verse has got a common theme. Our ways will prosper. And almost every single verse has a verb at the end of it. See, it moves us into doing when we meditate. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But those who delight in his law, in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. When you add these verses to what we read in James, that the more we look at Scripture and the more we meditate on the precept of Jesus, the more it changes us into hearers to doers. And perhaps in 2026, when we do this, it will compel us to live a lifestyle worthy of the gospel. See, Paul compels us in Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Thessalonians to live a lifestyle worthy of our great God. See, in our reading and in our meditating and in our sharing, in our forming each other, our lives start to change. When the words in our heart, it flows from there and our lives look different. That should be our goal. So as we are moving into the third week of 2026, my prayer is that all of us will start to look deeper into the Word of God, so that we can perhaps overcome that secret sin in our lives that no one knows about, that you don't tell anyone about. Perhaps you've been struggling with something for a very long time. You've prayed about it, you've fasted about it, but you just can't seem to shake it. Whatever it might be, anger, whatever. I don't know. I don't want to guess. But whatever, we all struggle with something. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to start reading your scriptures more, to start ruminating on that scripture. Let that change you every day, during the day, and see how God's perfect law starts to change you from the inside out, starts to move you from sin to a life free of sin by just meditating on the Word of God. His Word is powerful. This Word is powerful. We just need to read it. Now, I know it might be hard. I know we get busy. But something I'm going to do, something practical that I want to do, is I'm going to set an alarm on my phone. And I want to paste just the verses that I read this morning on that alarm. It can go off 10 times a day. I don't care. But then I can reread it. And I can meditate on it. Because I get it, work's busy and kids are busy and school's busy, whatever is going on in your life. And whatever you need to do in 2026, meditate during the day on the Word of God. Perhaps you need to ask someone, say, hey, can you just send me a text during the day just to remind me to read my Bible? Whatever it is. Because I would love to see you on your lunch break lying under a tree like that cow, ruminating on the perfect Word of God, looking so content. So that nutrients that God has for us the second time can start nourishing your soul. Now, if I still haven't convinced you to read your Bible and to ruminate and to share with friends, it's okay. I want to share it this way. So with my kids, then when they were little, and even now, I'll share something with them, whatever it might be about life. I'll use the example of a pot. I'll tell them, hey, watch out, that pot's hot. Now, they might hear and understand, especially now that they're a bit older, that the pot is hot. So, but the temptation is still that they might want to touch that pot to see how hot that pot is. Because, you see, they have transferred knowledge from me to them, saying that the pot is hot. But when they touch the pot and burn their hand, they now, in fact, know that the pot is, in fact, quite hot. And then they go from transferred knowledge into a lived experience of that knowledge. And it means more to them. And in the same way with our daily lives and our journey with Jesus. That pastor that's preaching that sermon about the love of Jesus, that's great. You might hear it. Holy Spirit might do something in you and know, yes, God loves me. But you know when you're really going to find out the love of Jesus is when you sit at their feet and you're really going to know that Jesus actually loves you more than you can ever imagine. When that pastor preaches about the dangers of sin in your life, you know when that's really going to change you is when you sit at his feet and you allow his word to wash over you. And the Holy Spirit meets you there and says, yes, my son, this sin is in fact not good for you. That's when change happens. It's good to get, don't get me wrong, again, it's great to have teaching from people. It's wonderful. But it shouldn't be our only place we get our nourishment from. It should be at the feet of Jesus, in our word, while we're meditating on the word of God. That's when true change comes. And I see it, and it's probably the greatest joy of my life is sometimes when I'm preaching or when I'm talking to young people and you can see that aha moment happening to them. That, for me, is the greatest privilege of my life, is when you're talking to someone and you can see the lights go on and they realize, and you can see the Holy Spirit start moving in them. That's what I do. Why I do what I do, because for that moment to see that, man, someone's life's just changed. The Holy Spirit just moved just there. That aha moment when we sit at the feet of Jesus happened to me about 20 years ago. Now, I can close my book here at this point because I won't, but to tell the story, I only put in there personal life story. But I did it for this reason, because I can tell the story without even looking at any notes, because I had an aha moment with Jesus 20 years ago. See, I grew up, like I said, in a very traditional church where they baptized babies, they sprinkled water on them as a baby. And when I turned about 18 years old, I came to the Lord in a massive way. I had made the decision to follow Jesus with my whole heart and soul and mind. And then I went to a Pentecostal church and they were talking about adult baptism, being completely immersed in the water. And now I'm at a crossroad, because I have been baptized as a baby, but also the Bible teaches to be baptized and be completely submerged. So now going against being baptized is almost going against what I've been taught my whole life, and also what the loved ones around me were saying is, no, but you've been baptized, you've been sprinkled on. So now I'm wrestling with this word in my heart. Now I'm wrestling with this choice I've got to make. Am I going to get baptized or am I already baptized? Yes, I've been baptized, but it's my choice. So I'm wrestling with this thing, and I'll talk. I spoke to a lot of different people. I spoke to the pastor there and the pastor here to really wrestle with this verse. And I went and looked at the Greek and the Hebrew, and I figured out that baptism means baptizu and sprinkling means rantizu. And this is 20 years ago. I didn't look this up for the sermon. I remember this because God did something in my heart while I was wrestling with this choice. The only time rantizu gets mentioned in the Bible is when the priests go into the Holy of Holies once a year and they sprinkle blood around the altar. Not on babies. And in that moment, I realized, baptizo, I need to get baptized. And I was baptized. And I was changed. Not just by the baptism, but by sitting at the feet of Jesus, asking Jesus, what is the right thing here? Now, I'm not here to debate theology. I'm just saying, get what I'm saying here. Is true change comes when we sit at the feet of Jesus and you have that aha moment. You're going, ah. It's a lived experience with Jesus is when we change. And in 2026, I really believe God's calling us to be these people that don't just live transferred knowledge, but lived experience. His desire is to see us change. If I take so much delight when I see a young man change like that, I can't even imagine how much joy God gets when one of his children turns to him. Or turns away from a life of sin or says no to that thing. The joy that it brings him. I'm just a human. I don't have unconditional love, but God does. And if he does this in me, how much more does it bring joy to him? In 2026, God calling us to become these people. And why do we spend time with Jesus? Why do we want those aha moments? It's because of this. Ephesians 4, verse 14 and 15, Paul says this. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. That's why we do this. Is that Nations Paul Kennedy will become an Ephesians 4 church, mature in every way. Become a mature body in Christ that is our head. We can only do that when we read our Bibles. We understand what the Word says. When we start working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, what like Timothy says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We don't just depend on the pastor to teach you, because it'll be exhausting. Paul says you should have been on solid food by now, but you're still on milk. And Pastor Mel can't feed everyone milk every Sunday. It's not what it should be. Because it's exhausting for the pastors. I think that's why pastors are burning out. It's not in my notes. I'm just going for it now. Is that why pastors are burning out? Because people are still on milk. So they come and say, oh, feed me. And the pastors try and they level best to just preach the word, but it's the only sustenance they get in the week. And Paul's saying, but hold on, you've been a Christian for 20 years. You should have wrestled with this long enough now to really understand what the Bible says. But you're still drinking milk from your pastor. Come on. In 2026, I believe this word is God is calling us to be people that are mature in Him. It's not going to happen overnight. Don't rush it. There's no fast food here. It takes time. But stepping in the right direction, reading your Bible, wanting more out of the Bible, I believe is God's call for us in 2026. So in 2026, if I call you a cow, please don't be offended. Husbands, it's not an excuse to call your wife a cow. It just means that we can see that God's doing something in your heart. And why is He doing that? Because you're sitting at His feet. You're ruminating on the Word of God. When someone's asked you, hey, what did God speak to you today? Or how much time have you got? I've got a fair bit to tell you about Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.